Listening Dog Media.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Outside Centre, the brand new rugby podcast just in time for the Women's Six Nations, breaking down what is often known as the most complicated sport on the planet, which is rugby union. It's me, Robbie James, alongside World Cup winner Vicky Fleetwood and also Great Britain's Sevens star Ellie Boatman. Now, if you have already listened to our preview of the preview pod, that's great. If not, you might want to go back because that's where we debug some of the terminology, kind of make sense of what rugby is. And in this episode, we're going to be previewing the upcoming Women's Six Nations, which we were meant to do in the podcast before, but we ran out of time because we were blabbering on about what a loose head is. Let's get on with the Six Nations preview. Let's just sort of mention what happens with the Six Nations. Essentially, it is Six Nations, the four home nations. You've got your islands, your Scotlands, your Wales, and your Englands. Plus, we've got Italy and we've got France. Everyone plays each other, five games. Whoever gets the most points is the winner of the Six Nations. And if you win all the games, you are Grand Slam champions, something Vicky Fleetwood managed on four occasions. Let's go through each team, shall we? And we'll end on England because I know England are both of your teams and stuff like that. And there'll be lots to talk about. So let's rattle through them. Let's go in order of where everyone finished in last year's Six Nations. So we'll start with Ireland, who were bottom last year. No wins from the tournament. Their coach is a man called Scott Beamond. Their captains, they've got two captains. So they've gone for co-captains. So they've got Adele McMahon and also Sam Monaghan as well. What's the whole thinking? Why do you have two captains? It seems a bit rogue.
I actually quite like it because obviously a lot of the time you'll have your captain and your vice captain, but actually to kind of share those roles and to kind of, I don't know, there's kind of like less weight on the shoulders of that person, but also you might have someone who kind of is a pack leader or kind of makes big decisions on the pitch as well. So you don't want them to have all the captaincy kind of stress as well as making all the decisions on the pitch for lots of other reasons. So it's quite nice to kind of share that role, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I have actually played with both of them. I was at Wasps with both of them a few seasons ago. So Sam, we used to call Big Sam. She's literally just really tall.
She's incredible as well.
Unreal.
She's such
a good
player.
And when I joined Wasps, she joined at the same time and she'd been playing like three leagues below. Like her growth has just been unreal. Like where she is now captaining her country and she wasn't even playing in the Premiership like 3 years ago. Yeah, kudos to her. And then Adele, we called Tricky. Not sure why. I'm yet to ask her why we call her Tricky, but she's better known as Tricky. So Big Sam and Tricky are the kind of co-captains. And again, such a great human, such a great leader, and different to Sam, but like, again, gets on with everyone, like, will be such a good leader. So I'm excited to see them do that together, having been teammates with them at club.
I also think it'll be really exciting to see. So obviously I played with under Scott for many, many years. So to kind of see what he's done with those girls, kind of, you know, last year they just were way off the mark. And actually, I think with having some of the Sevens girls back this year, that might make a big difference.
Yeah, and it's worth obviously contextualising all these teams. So Ireland, in terms of like their level of professionalism in comparison to the likes of England, it's very, very low. So domestically, you know, their players are having to juggle a lot and things like that. But it is also worth mentioning that, like you said, Ellie, like they had a huge Irish rugby. I mean, obviously, we've seen the men win the Six Nations recently, but also the Sevens, like we mentioned back in Perth in January, they won their first ever World Series, which was just a massive, massive deal for them. And they've got, I think maybe they've got five players coming back into the Six Nations squad. So, like, I suppose even though some of those players will have won some silverware, that will probably maybe help them to try and pick up some good results in the next few weeks.
Yeah, so where they're slightly different, the Irish Sevens girls are actually full-time. So they're all full-time professionals. Yeah, players like Eve Higgins, such a talented rugby player, to go back to the 15s, I think is going to be really key just for them to have that experience around them, because they definitely have some younger girls coming through. But just to have that cool head on the pitch and those kind of more experienced players coming back.
And they got three home games. They play Italy, Wales and Scotland at home. And talking of... Before we move on to Italy... Who would I want one player to watch out for? If you're watching Ireland throughout this Six Nations, who is the one player on that pitch that you would both say that you want people to have their eye on and just watch and just really enjoy watching playing?
I'd actually put Eve Higgins. Okay. I remember when she first came on the scene, must have been, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, quite a long time, and she was super young. She just didn't look out of her depth at all, considering, like, you know, it was like the first time she'd been in the Six Nations. And now with all that experience behind her, I just think, yeah, she'll be really exciting to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Also, for anyone not familiar, making ground means making meters.
Oh, good one.
Another rugby term.
And what does making meters mean?
Like when you get the ball, making a positive, yeah, making meters. Is that not clear? Yeah, positive carry.
Getting closer to the try line.
Yeah, getting closer to the try line. Yeah. Okay, that's what we'll go with. Good stuff. But yeah, I'll have to say the same, to be honest. Like, as much as I could easily go for Sam and Tricky and all those, Eve for me is just, yeah, such an all-round rugby player, and I think is going to be a really key part of that team. So definitely Eve for me.
What number are we expecting Eve to have on her back for people looking out? What would you say?
Ooh, she's usually playing in the centres.
Usually 12, so 12 or 13,
yeah,
probably.
12 or 13, I expect.
Okay. Keep an eye on 12 or 13. Okay, let's move on to Italy, because they finished fifth in last year's Six Nations. They're really interesting, Italy, because they seem to be kind of running in a parallel with the men's team. And again, like, if you've been watching the men's Six Nations, you might have sort of caught glimpses of Italy celebrating, because they had an amazing, amazing men's Six Nations where they beat Scotland and they beat Wales, and then they drew to France as well, and it was their best the best Six Nations ever. And it feels like this, like, Italian rugby in general and this Italian women's side as well are really on the up, which is really, really exciting. For I think, like, rugby's more fun or any sport is more fun for having a good Italian side in it. Would we all agree?
Yeah, definitely. And they're so passionate, and they're like the nicest people as well, so you want them to succeed. And I always think that, like, every time I played them, they would hold out for a half, and then the second half, they'd, like, fitness would tell, or they'd given it everything in that first half and they just couldn't do it in the second half. And I think now they've got players that are full time. Year on year, they have been getting better and better.
Yeah, they're proper, like, fun to watch, aren't they, Ellie? And I expect them also to have a bit of a bone to pick with Scotland, because they basically, there's a competition that took place in the autumn. It's called the WXV, like, this new competition. And I know Scotland sort of just pipped them to the post of that one. So it's quite interesting. There'll be maybe a little bit of beef in that game with Scotland.
Yeah, I expect so. And a lot of those players now have actually come over to play in the PWR. So there is quite a lot of...
PWR. What is PWR, Vicky?
It's the Women's Premiership.
Premiership Women's Rugby.
What's it stand for? Premiership Women's Rugby. I find it weird that it's that way round.
Yeah.
Women's Rugby Premiership or something like that. PWR to me sounds funny.
Yeah, anyway. It's the domestic... It's the domestic league in England, right?
And it's been called so many different things over the years.
Yeah, it was Premier 15s last year.
Allianz, Tyrrells.
Okay, sorry, carry on.
P15.
So yeah,
what? It's called what? P15?
Yeah, it was called P15 for a year, I think. Yeah.
Premier 15.
It's been called so many different things.
You're talking about Italian players playing in the WP7R.
WP7R.
Yeah, quite a few of them have come over now. We've got two at Trailfinders, and yeah, again, like Flito said, they just train and play with so much passion, and like they're so hardworking. So I think you're going to see them play with passion. Hopefully they're going to really test Scotland and other nations and be a bit of an underdog this tournament.
And what we're saying, one player to look out for in Italian side?
For me, it's Rigoni. Like she's been around for a long time. But she really pulls the strings for them. And I think when she's not there, they never do as well. She's got so much flair. Like on her day, she can do anything. And again, she's a lot of fun as well. Like she's such a good person. So hopefully she'll go and do really well in this year's tournament.
What was there, Nelly?
Rigoni for me as well. Sorry, being really predictable with that. But again, everything that...
This is Beatrice Rigoni, right?
Yeah, Beatrice Rigoni. However, hilarious, some commentator accidentally called her Rigatoni once. So don't call her Rigatoni, like the pasta. So Rigoni, not Rigatoni.
I wonder if her teammates just call her that as like a nickname. I
accidentally have.
No, because they're Italians. They don't care about the pasta thing. They're sick of it. Like, stop just talking about pasta. We're in Italy.
Oh, funny.
Okay. Anyway, what's Beatrice Rigoni going to have on her back? Likely number, what are we looking out for?
10.
Okay. Number 10 for Italy. Good. Right. Italy, done.
Sometimes 12.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes she can go inside centre as well, which is 12.
Okay, just look at the team sheets before you watch the game, okay? Right. Italy, done. On to my beloved Scotland, who finished fourth in last year's Six Nations, and as a Scotland fan, by the way, just to address the elephant in the room, because people always take the piss out of me for it. Scottish family, I know I sound like the most Englishman. Scottish family, being brought up, always supporting Scotland, doesn't mean, Vicky, that I wasn't delighted when you won the World Cup in 2014. Okay, just like to put that out there.
Aw, thanks.
Anyway, but as a beloved Scotland fan who has been very disappointed and very sad for the last few weeks watching the men, please can you both give me some hope of optimism that this might be a better few weeks for the women's side? Good. That's good.
No. My Scottish teammates can kill me. Don't do that.
Tumbleweed moment.
No, I think that they have a really bright future, and Scottish rugby for the women is on the up at the moment with the introduction of contracts, and they've just done that Celtic challenge, and from speaking to Rona and some of the Sevens girls who play for Scotland as well, they said there's a lot of young exciting talent coming through, which is good to see.
And also a lot of the Scottish girls play in the Premiership as well, so they're getting good rugby like week in week out, so they've come a long way from when we beat them like 90-0.
Bringing that up
at Twickenham, like those days are long gone. Once they've got their attack and their attack clicks, they're going to be like a real force to
It is exciting, and they, like you said, they've got players playing in England, and this Celtic challenge thing that you mentioned as well is like, so it was a tournament that took place a couple of months ago, wasn't it, between there were some like sides in Scotland and in Wales and in Ireland, and they had Edinburgh and Glasgow sort of entered it, and it was made up of sort of basically just random, some players from the English teams were thrown into it that have been playing in England and stuff like that. And Edinburgh and Glasgow did all right, didn't they? And it feels like there's kind of like, there's more competition and a bit of depth, which is something that we haven't seen for a little while. And also, big one, if you are up in Scotland or you're heading up, there's expecting a record crowd for that England game. So that's going to be really, really exciting, isn't it? And who would the players to watch be then? Ellie, you said you were going to be biased with your Sevens friends.
Well, can I pick two? Or is that not allowed?
No. Yes.
Okay. So I think, first of all, Rona Lloyd, because, yes, she is a teammate of mine for Great Britain, but I just think she is such a big character in their team, and she's quite often on the end of a lot of their tries. I think Rona Lloyd, and then I'm going to go for a slightly younger gun who's come through, who I was actually in a few Sevens camps with as well, called Emma Orr. She plays at 13, and last Six Nations, I think she really showed what she can do, and everyone's really excited about her. And I think we've only seen a small part of what she can do so far, so I'm really excited for the growth of Emma Orr.
And we're expecting Emma Orr to wear 13, yep. And Rona Lloyd 11 or 14, which is normally where the wing is.
I think she usually wears 14, but 11 or 14.
I feel like I'm also being quite biased with who I'm choosing, but I'm going for like ex-Saris, like teammates, who I've kind of seen how hard they work, like behind the scenes. Lou McMillan, like incredible player, just she can do everything. And I unfortunately didn't like get to play alongside her because I was injured, but kind of the training and was there like when she was at Saris, and I know like how highly everyone thought of her. And then Fee McIntosh, who's kind of like more recently been selected and stuff, and I've kind of seen her journey, played alongside her for a number of years, and again seen how hard she kind of worked behind the scenes and knew she was always going to do really well and just loved playing alongside her. So it'd be awesome to see her go well. So yeah, Lou will probably be somewhere in the back row and Fee in the second row. So I'm not entirely sure what numbers.
So back row is 6, 7 and 8. And if they're in the second row, they're wearing 4 or 5. And they probably have that tape thing around their legs.
Yeah, the lift.
I say, what is the point of that? You always see like they have like this like big strapping tape thing around their like thighs.
So when you get lifted in the line out, the person that's doing the lifting will lift with like their thumb and their first finger, and the like the tape, you'll have something underneath it that like sticks out like a block, and that will kind of sit on top of the thumb and the finger, so it's easier to lift, because otherwise it's quite hard to grab onto someone's legs. So it just kind of sits. Yeah. The lifter sits on top of your thumb and your
It's an aid.
Finger.
I just use sticky spray personally, but
sticky spray.
Yeah, but you're lighter.
What sticky spray?
Again, I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert because it's three of us in a line out in sevens. But sometimes I jump and there's this sticky spray we put on our legs, which just helps people's hands stick to my legs better, basically.
Sticky spray.
Yeah.
Well, I did not know that was a thing. Anyway, all right. On that bombshell, let's move on to... Should we move on to Wales? Mm-hmm. Because they finished third last year. And they're sort of, again, another team that just really, really excites me to see what Wales do in the next few years. Because they've now got 25 full playing contracts. So professionalism is really on the up in Wales. And it feels like there's kind of been a big investment in the Welsh team, and that's maybe now starting to sort of pay off a little bit now.
Yeah, definitely. I think it makes such a difference when players are able to train full time. Not only having like more kind of time to be able to train, but also the time to be able to like relax and rest and do all of those things. And for a long time, a lot of the girls were having to work alongside kind of playing. And yeah, another kind of year of them having those kind of full-time contracts is going to be great. So having seen that at club level, it's only going to then increase when every single player has kind of got that as well.
Yeah, like we've already said with some of the other nations, there's a lot of Welsh players in the league as well, particularly at like Bristol Bears, Gloucester, those sorts of clubs, and they're really key members in the team as well. So I think we will see a strong Welsh side this Six Nations, and hopefully, like you said, that investment and contracts will be paying off. I do think it is. I just think when it first happens, everyone expects you to be world class straight away, and it's like you can't go from working pretty much full time to playing full time to then going to full contracts, and then everyone expects like a miracle within like a month. Like, it's going to take a few years. So hopefully we'll be seeing the rewards of that very soon.
Yeah, they start the weekend at home to Scotland. And then, really exciting, their final game against Italy is going to be taking place at the Principality Stadium, which is huge. And that's going to be so, so fun because hopefully they're going to sort of pack it out, get loads of people in. And like, I mean, it's well documented that like the Principality Stadium is one of the great sporting stadiums, right? I mean, that's going to be mad. If you're a player in that Welsh squad, is any part of you, Vicky, like, oh man, like, I just really want to make sure, please, can I just get through to that last game? Because it's going to be huge.
Probably. I remember when England first kind of got the opportunity to play at Twickenham, and I guess that they'll be feeling very similar to that. Like, it was a big move when they went to the Arms Park, and that kind of became their ground.
Which is like the little stadium, Cardiff Arms Park, by the Principality, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it was great that they did that, because it meant that there was an atmosphere, because they weren't getting as many numbers to games. But then the fact that, you know, year on year, they're getting more and more fans going and watching. They've got a big fan base that now that they can go and play in the Principality. And that's going to be so exciting for so many of those girls.
Yeah, if you're anywhere near Cardiff, get yourself there for that last weekend. Right, who are our ones to watch on the Welsh side if you're watching Wales, this Six Nations?
Oh, I feel like I have two again.
Oh, no, just the one, come on.
Okay.
One player to focus in on.
I'm going to do one player to focus in on, but can I do like an honorary mention?
Honourable mentions, yeah, nice. Are fine.
Okay, so one who I think we're going to start seeing her grow again now and like has been through so much over the past year is Gwen Crabb. She last Six Nations came back from a broken ankle, and then I think the first few minutes of the game did her ACL. And she's just been through so much, has had to work so hard, and is back playing well. And I just think we're going to see her Gwen Crabb 2.0 basically now. So that's my honourable mention, is Gwen Crabb. And then my Jazz is going to hate me for this, but I'm actually going to say Alicia Butcher's Joyce, which is Jasmine Joyce's wife.
And Jasmine Joyce also plays for Wales as well.
Yeah, exactly. Jazz is on the wing. Obviously, Jazz is a world-class player as well, and everyone knows that, and I couldn't...
You're sneaking in another honourable mention.
I'm sorry. It's hard.
Yeah, she's just naming all her mates.
It's fine. We know you rate them, Ellie, okay?
Yeah. Jazz is Jazz, but Alicia is just so impressive, I think, in terms of, like, she's such a dynamic forward and... so impressive with ball in hand and line breaks and her ball skills as well. So I think Alicia Butcher's Joyce. I don't know if she'll play with Butcher's or Butcher's Joyce on her shirt, but Alicia Butcher's.
And numbers, roughly. Ooh, okay. Six or seven. Six or seven. And yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Hang on, that's great.
one that you don't know
so
they
Gwen,
do.
Gwen Crabb, we're sure. Expecting to that have...
Way. Just looking forwards.
It's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Look at the team sheet.
She's somewhere
in the
team
sheet. That's fine. Okay, and six or seven for Alicia. But okay, cool. Right, Vicky, go.
I was going to go for more of like one of the emerging players, in Nell Metcalf. She's been playing like really well for Gloucester. And I just think this is going to be probably her tournament to go out and shine. She's super fast. It's so weird when you watch her though, because she doesn't look like she is. And then she's just like sprinting past everyone. Like, she makes it
long
just look really easy, and she's just kind of like playing with a smile on her face.
And she will likely be wearing number
14 or 11.
The wing is 14 or 11. That's what you need to look out for. Right, France and England to go. So France, they finished second last year. They always, just worth it, like, if you're watching France at home during the Six Nations, they have such great crowds. They pack out their stadiums. It's absolutely brilliant. They've got a decent level of professionalism, although it has sort of got a little bit complicated in the last couple of years. But for France, this is the tournament of, like, we need to try and win this thing, because in the last 2 years, they've had Grand Slam deciders on the final day against England, and they've lost them both. Does anything tell you that this could be their year, either of you? Nope, Vicky's shaking her head.
I personally just think England are too strong. However, I have lost to France on quite a few occasions. Playing against France are probably one of my, like, favourite games to play, because they are just so good, they're so strong. We all know about French flair. Sometimes they just do the most bizarre things and they just come off. But I just think England will be too strong.
Ellie, would you like to give any French fans any optimism?
I think anything can happen when you're playing away in France. Just the crowds, like, everyone says it, playing in France is horrendous. I've had a little snippet with it before. I played in Toulouse on a Friday night against France in the sevens, and I could not hear anything at all. So when you're playing France, it is difficult for sure. I just think they have a bit of a bad omen when it comes to playing England. Like, I just think that's a mental block. Like, I don't necessarily think it's always ability. I just think with a lot of teams, they'll have a mental block when it comes to playing certain teams. I think for them, that's England, unfortunately.
Who would our players to watch out for France be then in our second place side?
I really highly rate Vergnier. She's very small, super physical, super skillful. She's always one of those players that puts 100% in and probably is one that doesn't get the recognition that she deserves. She's always one that's kind of involved in creating the tries or stopping a try. And the fact that she's so small and just plays well above what she should be able to do for that size, I just was always in awe of that. And probably one of the slightly older players now, she's been around for a while. But yeah, she's really, really good. So
Gabrielle Vergnier, yeah? Number, and she'll be wearing probably 12 or 13 again because she's centre 12.
12, okay. Normally.
And Ellie,
yeah, 12.
How many are you going to give this time? Four?
No, I've actually got one this time, sorry.
Oh!
I'm actually going to go for... Oh, no, do I have an honourable mention? I'm sorry.
Oh, for...
Only
of course
because
she
plays with me at club, I'm sorry. Elise Rifano... She's going to kill me if I say her name wrong. She is a hooker who plays with us at Trailfinder. She's been called up to the French squad. I think she is unreal, like the next big thing. So I think she's definitely someone to look out for. But my main one is Bourdon Sansu, I think her surname is now. The nine, the little nine who wears her hair down, which really stresses me out, by the way. I don't know how she does that. Because for me, if my hair's not in plaits...
Yeah, and as soon, because she's playing nine, as soon as she like bends down...
Just for reference there, Vicky just did a bending down sort of...
But she's just like a little pocket rocket. And I think a lot of the kind of backs, tempo and moves and everything is like instrumented around her. She is, fun fact, married to the ex-nine who's retired recently. So Sansu... Who and they used to compete for the starting nine shirt, but they're married, which I think is madness. Like, imagine those
that's
conversations.
So crazy.
At home, being like, do you think I'm going to start this week or you? Luckily, Sansu has retired now, so I guess she'll be there supporting.
But the other Sansu will be wearing nine.
Yes.
And nine is scrum half, 10 is fly half. Scrum half gets like the ball from the breakdown slash ruck slash maul slash. Scrum slash everything going on with there. They get the ball and they do like the first pass, don't they? And then the 10, who is the fly half, is normally the first person to receive the ball when these like start an attacking move.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about them together, people call them halfbacks.
Oh God, no, don't mention that.
Sorry,
halfbacks.
Sorry.
Oh Christ. Okay, right. Let's, we need to wrap things up. What we're doing with England then, because again, for a bit of context, England, world ranking number one. Previously, they won the Grand Slam. They're looking to try and make it six. They're looking to try and make it six nations in a row. They've won the last five. So, like, level of professionalism in England is high. They're sort of a kind of above everyone, really, aren't they? But they've got a new coach. This is kind of the exciting thing. New coach since last year's Six Nations. You've got a guy called John Mitchell. Marley Packer, who was World Player of the Year last year. She is the captain once again. And this England side, what kind of would you say to people who maybe haven't watched England play before? What would you say is sort of the most exciting thing that we're maybe going to see about them in this Six Nations? Because they are expected to win, right?
I just think the skill set across the board, like all of the forwards are great handlers, great decision makers, which maybe for some of the other teams, forwards maybe aren't as good in those roles.
And like the challenge is, I guess, Ellie, like we said, they're going for a sixth Six Nations victory in a row. Like, how do you, there must become a point where it's like, how do we get better? Like, what's the motivation? What will it, like, in terms of from a playing side, what will kind of the motivation be for this tournament?
There's definitely obviously going to be pressure in terms of you're obviously the favourites to win it and there'll be that pressure. But I think at the same time, there'll be slightly less in terms of new coach, new era, new players coming through. Like, I do think it's a bit of a transition for the Red Roses and, like, a change of different generation and a new era of players, because like there has been some big retirements over the last few years. There's just so many people, there's so much competition for positions now, which is incredible that you don't necessarily know who's going to start each game. Like, I definitely don't always know who's going to start, and I think that's where the strength is. Like, there's just so much depth now with the Red Roses squad, which is what makes them so dominant, I think.
And they're so, like, they are so fun to follow, aren't they? And like you might have seen this week, like they've got now like the Red Roses Instagram account, so they've sort of redone all their socials, and they've got a big game coming up at Twickenham later on in the tournament as well. So there's going to be loads of sort of exciting things to kind of look out for, and I suppose on players to watch out for and look out for. I know it's difficult because there are a lot, there is so much quality, but who would we sort of pick out if we wanted to? Who's our one to watch for England this year?
I'm going to go Abby Ward being back in an England shirt, because she's come back after giving birth not that long ago. Like, she's fought her way back into a club shirt, and only, you know, a couple of months later, she's going to be in an England shirt. But I've seen her do it coming back from injuries and things like that. Like, she is so focused and driven, and she'll have even more of that now she's a mum. Like, she'll be doing it like for her as well. I think it would be really cool to see her back in.
So cool what she's done, like blows my mind, like coming back from, like you said, she's become a mum and everything, and back into that England side. It's lovely. What number are we expecting her to wear, roughly?
I should actually know, but she's 4 or 5. She's in the second row.
And Ellie?
I'm actually going to go with a new player who is a club teammate, but just so excited for her to be in the squad, which is Vicky Laughlin. And she was a player who was at Worcester, very key player in the Worcester team, and obviously has gone through all of that, come up and joined us at Trailfinders, and she's just been playing so well in the league. And I think to be recognised and called up to the Red Roses squad, I just hope she gets a shot, because very excited about the future of her.
She has the longest legs.
It's crazy. Like, when she sprints, you're like, that is a gazelle.
Yeah, she's so fast, but like her legs are so long.
Very good aerially as well. Like, she loves a crossfield kick.
I was going to try and expand on crossfield kick, but it's quite self. That one's quite self-explanatory.
I feel like the clue's in the name with that one, hopefully.
Yes. It's like kicking the ball to your teammate who's on the other side of the pit. Yeah, easy. Cool. And Vicky Laughlin will potentially be wearing what number?
Either of the winger shirts, so 11 or 14, hopefully, if she gets a shot. Obviously, Abby Dow is another teammate who is an incredible winger, and you will definitely be seeing her play again, 11 or 14.
Got it in there. You got another honourable mention in there without even telling us that you were going to get an honourable mention in there, but that's fine. I'll level with you. Both of you have. You've pretty much gone for Ellie. Funnily enough, Ellie's gone for backs, and Vicky's mainly gone for forwards. So that's a nice little mix there. You can look out for all of those players throughout the tournament, and we'll see how they get on. Right, let's wrap this up. Just, I want from you tournament winners, and I want also, will there be a Grand Slam? So will the tournament winners win all the games? And which team you think might be the bolters? So which team you think might do something unexpected and maybe get a few more wins than expected? Vicky, go.
I think England are going to win the Grand Slam. As I said previously, I just think England are too strong, and just, like Ellie said, there's so much competition for positions that, you know, everyone's striving to be better week on week. So I just think that, yeah, England are going to be too dominant. But I do think that Wales will put in some good performances. So just similar stuff to what we've said previously, is just that they've now had those full-time contracts for a few years, and I think we're going to kind of see the rewards of that.
Ellie, who are you saying for winners and Grand Slam, yes or no?
Back in the Red Roses, definitely. Like we said, just so much depth. So dominant in world rugby at the moment. So definitely the Red Roses. And then...
For a Grand Slam?
For the Grand Slam, sorry, yeah. For the Grand Slam, uh-huh. Yeah. I actually think that Scotland will put in some good performances. I just think they've had a core group of girls who've been there for quite a number of years, and then just the mixture of younger talent coming through, I think they could surprise some teams. So I think, yeah, Scotland.
Well, I hope you're right. Good. That's good. I like that very much indeed. So that is, in a roundabout way, our way of previewing the Women's Six Nations. Well, it's proper exciting now, just a time of recording, a few days away from it all kicking off this weekend. The games that are taking place, of course, across Saturday and Sunday when it all kicks off. On Saturday, the first game of the tournament getting things underway is France against Ireland, and then it is Wales against Scotland at 4:45, and then Italy against England in Parma on Sunday, and then we will reconvene next week and sort of review what we've seen. And none of you are going to any games this weekend. What's the plan with both of you? Where are you going to be?
No, you're going to watch from afar, but we'll be at home
on the iPlayer.
Yes, exactly, on the iPlayer. So catch those games on the iPlayer. But yeah, I'll be watching from my own sofa.
Yeah, I'm the same as well. Got to be here for coaching duties and things like that, so yeah, I'll be just watching it from home.
Well, I might try and get myself to Cardiff. I might, if I can, I will try and get myself to Cardiff. But if not, I will watch every game on the BBC iPlayer like everyone can do, because it's really exciting. And I think now's a if now is your first time sort of watching Six Nations, watching rugby, it's a really, really good time to do it. So try and make sure even if you're not watching the Six Nations this weekend, if you can get to a club game or something like that, go and watch some rugby. There's loads happening. I promise you'll enjoy it and get something out of the day. So that is us just about done on our preview pod of the Six Nations. All kicks off this weekend, and we'll be back next week to chat everything through. A reminder, you can of course subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please spread the word, tell your friends, tell your family, anyone you want to tell about the podcast. Like we said, it's for, hopefully, for rugby nauseas, yes, but equally, if you're new to rugby, this is your safe space. And of course, ahead of next week as well, any questions, feel free to slide into our DMs on Instagram or TikTok. It is at OutsideCenterPod to give us a DM or a follow. That is us done on Outside Center. We will speak to you next week. Thanks for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.